it's a rough world out there. As I read my Bible, I'd love to give you hope and say it's going to change. It is going to change when we get to heaven, amen? But I don't think that's going to change here. I think that things are going to continue to get worse. And can I tell you, I know that whenever this happens, the whole political thing blows up online, and you may have your opinions about guns and things like that, and they always want to try and find a law or something that's going to pass. Can I just tell you, I would love to speak to Americans and say, the only solution to the darkness of man's heart is the light of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only thing that's going to make a difference in this. Man's heart is dark. We saw the first killing with a rock in biblical times. Man's heart is dark without Jesus Christ. And man needs to know Jesus. And whose responsibility is it for us to get for that word to get out there? It's us, isn't it? We're the church, right? So it is our responsibility to get that word out. So I'm saddened, and we need to pray for those. And I think before we even get started here, we're going to pray for those two areas. And I also want to just shoot out some prayers. We've got some people in the church right now that are going through some things. Ashley Edwards over there, well, not Ashley Edwards anymore. Good grief, I can't even call her that. Ashley Limmer, Matt and Jen's daughter. If you've been on the prayer chain, you saw that she has some heart issues, gallbladder issues, and she's pregnant. And so we need to pray heavily for her that she brings this baby to term. And for her health. We're not even really worried about the baby right now. The baby is very healthy, but mama's not doing so good. So she's on bed rest, isn't she, Jen? Or just not been able to, yeah. So we need to pray for her. Julia Sevier is in the emergency room this morning with some back issues, back pain. So they're trying to figure out what that is. So Doug's popping in and out of here because they were doing lots of tests. Can we pray for all of that and anything else that's going on? Can we do that? Father God, we just want to lift up, first I want to lift up what's going on here in Texas and then in Ohio. I got to believe that they are in just chaos there and fear and panic. And I know what the world wants to say that doesn't follow you, that your prayers don't mean anything, but they mean everything. We know that. We know it's that you that we reach out for. So we ask for your peace. We ask that somewhere in those communities that the churches would rise up and reach out to those who have been hurt, who have lost loved ones, who have loved ones that are in the hospital, that they would be a tool used by you to be able to share the gospel with these people that are definitely hurting, Father God. We'll continue to pray for them. Father God, we want to lift up Ashley Limmer, Lord. Ashley is this beautiful little girl that I've known since she was just a little one, and with this baby that she's carrying and all that's going on in her body, Lord, we don't have to describe it to you. You know every cell of her body. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just hold her in your hands and keep her safe, Lord. These things that are going on, we pray that they have no effect on the baby, Lord, that she's just she stays healthy and happy, and that baby comes to this world without any problems, and that you would be able to use the doctors to solve these other issues. It sounds like they have a plan, but we just ask that you would watch over her and keep her safe. And for the Edwards family, Lord, I know that this was just one of a number of things that's come their way, and they've just really been hammered lately. And so we pray your hedge of protection, a big wall of protection around that household, Lord, and that you would just bless them, and Lord, and may they sense your presence being there. Lord, we lift up Julia at the hospital right now. Lord, you just touch her. Lord, use the doctors to find out what's going on with her back and why it's hurting, why she's in pain, and Lord, help them to give her something to relieve it, and I just pray that she would find your peace even there in that hospital room. Lord, we take all of these things, and I know there are other things probably going on in the church. Other people are dealing with things that we didn't mention, but you know them. And so, Lord, we just hand them over to you. We know that you are the all-powerful God. You can do anything that you want to do. And we ask these things of you in your great and glorious and mighty name. Amen. Amen. Keep those guys in your prayers for sure. And we need to continue to pray for this world. I think what we're going to talk about today has a lot to do with where we play a part in all of this. So I'm going to pick up where Pastor Jim left off last time. We're not going into something different. We're in Acts chapter 9. We're going to pick it up in verse 32. Pastor Jim's already covered all of that. In the first two-thirds of chapter 9, we saw Saul's miraculous conversion on the road to Damascus, and then we saw God rock his world and turn it upside down to be used for the kingdom. And so we're going to pick it back up and put our focus back on Peter now. And we saw Peter last in chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we saw him and John being used in a mighty way. They were sent to Samaria to share the gospel. So they brought the gospel, they brought the Holy Spirit, they preached to people and shared the gospel as they made their way back to Jerusalem, which was a big trip. You know, when we look at these journeys that they make, when you do your studies, do you ever look at the map and see how far these guys got to travel? I mean, that was about a 40-mile trip to make it all the way there and back to go to minister to people, and then they're stopping along the way, and they didn't have Uber, so I mean, that was a walk. It was a good walk to make it there and back, and took time for them to do that. A lot of effort was involved in that. So we pick it back up where Peter has found his way to Lydda. We don't know. I wondered if it was kind of he was on his way back to Jerusalem, but it doesn't mention John, so I think that they'd made it back to Jerusalem and Peter was out on another journey to share the gospel. So let's read Acts chapter 9, verse 32. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda, and he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Wow. Got to keep in mind medical things that were available at that time, not like we have now. So some of the simple things that we're able to go to the doctor and get a little pill or some vitamins or a deficiency to be taken care of, they didn't have that at that time. A lot of people died from simple illnesses back then. So he couldn't be taken over to the local clinic. He existed by the care of those people around him who moved him around, probably laid him out on the street so that he could ask for money, beg for money as well. We'd often see that. Doesn't say that he was out on the street, but we see that that was probably where he was. Doesn't tell us where he was at. But everybody else in the town seemed to know him because of what we're about ready to read. Verse 34, Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. And immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon, which is the region to the north, saw him and turned to the Lord. So God healed through Peter. God spoke through Peter. It wasn't Peter's power, but it was God's power. His power came through just a simple servant as Peter. Now, Lydda was a pretty popular town. If you look at it on the map, you see a lot of intersections coming into this city. It was on the great caravan road between Babylon and Egypt, an intersection of a lot of cities. I got to believe that there are a lot of people that were going through there. There was a lot of trade that was going on, a lot of traffic. I don't know about you. I kind of like to picture things in my mind. Do you do that when you read Scripture? Do you try and put yourself in that place? I mean, what Peter looked like to me didn't probably how he looked like to you, but I try and picture that in my mind so I can kind of get an idea of it. And when I began to read about this, I see that there was a lot going on in the city, which makes Peter's actions even more amazing to me because you know what? We are very distracted people. Amen? So I know that for some of you, you're going to wonder about this, but what's that stupid game that, I know some of you play, it's not a stupid game. What's the game where you walk around and catch the little things? Pokemon Go. If you ever go in the downtown area when there's a Pokemon Go event, be careful because people are so distracted down there, you can just run them over, which I try and do sometimes. Honk the horn, scare them, make them jump, you know, wake them up so that they know that there's, but we are distracted people going in any waiting room and you see us all sitting on our cell phones, don't we? Do I hear an amen? Yeah. Very distracted. We miss a lot of what God wants to do because we are so distracted as people. And I say distracted, I believe that we're spiritually distracted. There's all these people, they're sharing the gospel, walking through the town, and yet this man caught Peter's attention, stepped over, boom, power of God, raised him from the dead. Life changed. Region changed, city changed, hundreds, maybe thousands of people came to know Jesus Christ because of that one simple act, because he was willing and he was observant and he was paying attention. You know, it challenges me a lot. This is just three verses, but when I read this, I meant, how much do I miss in this world because I'm distracted? I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a little bit ADD. Just a little bit. And so a friend used to attend here, Doug Search, years ago. Some of you know the new Search, new Doug and Lucille. And Doug and I were close friends. And one of the things that Doug and I used to do several times a week, just depended on what was going on, we would meet at the little coffee shop that Kelly and I helped run for a while. And we would just go sit, have coffee, bring our Bibles, talk. And if it was cold, we'd just kind of hang out there. But if it was warm, we loved to just walk through downtown. I don't know if you walked around downtown. lately, but it's always been a busy downtown since that time. And we would walk around and just, you know, meet people, say hi, and talk a lot while we would walk. And so this particular night when we were out walking, there were a lot of people out. A lot of inebriated people who wanted to have conversations with us for some reason would stop. And there was this stuff going on, and we were talking, walking. People, the bars were going. I think it was a Friday night, so it was packed down there. And I was walking along talking, and then I realized Doug was no longer with me. He had disappeared somewhere, so I had to backtrack a little ways. He didn't say anything, and I came back to this little alcove downtown, and there sits Doug on the ground with this man sitting on the sidewalk, leaned up against the building. I'm like, oh, hi, what are we doing? So I sat down. I missed it. I didn't even see him. I didn't hear him. He didn't catch my attention, but Doug was observant. Doug, if you knew Doug was kind of a guy that you could have a conversation with him, and he was there, but not quite there all the time. He's always kind of looking around, and I believe that he is one of those people that's very spiritually observant of what's going around him, so he doesn't miss something, and he saw this man, and he sat down with him. And at first, this man played a little game. Some of the people on the street sometimes will pretend like they might be slightly mentally ill. There's a lot of mental illness, but sometimes that's part of their protectiveness, and he asked for a few things, and we went and got him some food, but that ended up being 2 hours that we sat talking to this man on the sidewalk. And we got to hear about his life and about his military career and all of the things that he was struggling with. We talked about the church. We talked about Jesus. We talked about everything. He even asked for some things that we didn't have. And if you knew Doug was a big camper. And so we went back to Doug's house and we got a sleeping bag and for this guy and put a Bible in there and some other things and just really blessed him. And we made a new friend. And we got a chance to minister to this man because Doug was paying attention, because he was spiritually where he was needing to be. He was paying attention. He wasn't distracted. Those three little verses convicted me that in this world that is so jacked up and these people that are doing crazy things, that maybe there was somebody that was sent to this man who just shot and killed 20 people in Texas. Maybe there was somebody that came past him that wasn't paying attention, that wasn't observant enough, and they walked on past. I mean, I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but all of us could probably say that there have been times that we felt maybe God was saying, hey, you should go over and talk to that person over there, or you should go do this. And for whatever reason, we're like, no, I can't do that, or I'm too busy, I got to go somewhere. I see some of your heads moving. You've done that before. It's happened, hasn't it? We got to stop. There's not much time left. We got to start stopping. We got to start paying attention to what God has put before us. And I'm thankful that Peter did, because this really speaks to me. I could preach a whole sermon on just this three verses, but we have to move on. So, verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About the time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard about that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. So Joppa was about 12 miles, give or take, 12 to 13 miles away. That's about the distance from here to Falcon. Okay, so that kind of give you an idea. It wasn't a quick journey that they send two people that way. My daughter and I walk in the evenings, and we walk about a four-mile stretch in the evenings sometimes, and that takes us about, what, hour and a half. So even in a good pace, it wasn't a quick journey to go there and get these men and then bring them back. And for whatever reason, whatever Peter was doing in that area, it was spreading. It was spreading way beyond where they were at. And people were hearing about what Peter was doing. And so they sent word. Word of mouth travels pretty fast, but, I mean, think about it. That traveling that distance, there would be people traveling to be able to spread the word to let Peter know that it's going there. I mean, in our world, blessing or curse, word travels really, really fast, doesn't it? Sometimes too fast. I was sitting at the coffee shop on Friday studying, and just in the early afternoon, I don't know if you know that, but on Friday there was they herd the cattle down the middle of downtown. I don't know if you knew that or not, but some Little Britches rodeo or something like, is it, what's it for? I can't remember. Do you mean, nobody knows, do they? But they actually bring big longhorn cattle, and they herd them down the downtown area, and you can go stand and watch this. And my brother's, he sends me a text just shortly after, well, on Friday, one of them got loose, and went inside one of the buildings downtown. And they went in on horseback and drove that bull back out. It was one of giant bull. You can look online, you can see the video of it, and they drive it back out. My brother says, you know, what? Things are a little strange in Colorado because of all of the marijuana. Is there a reason you're letting your cattle roam in the downtown area, you know? So, and that was only just a few hours after. So word travels very fast. It were on national news, sometimes a blessing, sometimes a curse. But back then, it took a little bit more time. So when we hear that word spread fast, we can tell that people were very moved. Now, this young lady's name was Tabitha. In Greek, it was Dorcas. Now, not a name that would go very well in our society today, amen? Actually, my nephew liked a little girl back when he was very young, and her parents had named her Dorcas. I thought that was horrible. Just not a good thing. Not a good thing. Both Tabitha and Dorcas mean gazelle or deer. Just a piece of advice, don't try and work that word into your conversations. When your wife says, could you take out the trash, say, don't say yes, Dorcas. That's not going to work very well. So, but all kidding aside, what we see is that Tabitha, in the few sentences we see, was known for her good works. That she was a caring person. That she had a good heart. That she did charitable deeds. She was a seamstress. She wasn't like some who like to talk about how giving they are but never really give. In fact, Luke makes sure to tell us that she was always doing good and always helping the poor. She was actively giving. And we don't know why they sent for Peter. Now, it doesn't say that they, at that time, if we look at the book of Acts, it wasn't a commonplace or really even expected that Christians would be raised from the dead. So I don't believe that that was a common thought. They may have just called him because they just wanted him to be there. It's possible that Dorcas was still alive when they sent for Peter. He might have been said, you know, come pray over. We want her to see her get better. But that time frame may have passed, and she may have passed while they were waiting for him to come. Some would even suggest that Peter may have been acquainted with her in his travels, and that she may have held some sort of position of respect in his life or within the church, but we don't know that for sure. It doesn't say that. Also, the fact that she's recognized by both names may indicate that she was well known by the Jews and the Gentiles. I think she was well known by the community, by the outpouring and by the grief that came. But I think that Peter was doing these Jesus-like things, because if we look how Peter's healing, it's just like Jesus did. He'd seen him do this before. I think he'd been with him two or three times when Jesus has raised somebody from the dead. So I just kind of see, you know, there was no pomp and circumstance. It was like, hey, get up, Jesus heals you, come on. And it was done. So I think that's what was probably happening. It's very common nowadays some of you have done this, when you're going through a difficult time or when there's tragedy that hits, that people want their pastor or their leaders to come and to pray over them. So I think it was very normal, and that probably was why they wanted him to come. Verse 39, Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All of the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Here's where we see that losing her and her gifts of service greatly affected this community. Pretty good sized port, a city right there, Joppa was. Her hospitality and her giving spirit made a difference in the community. Maybe some of these people standing around her at this time, they weren't even believers, maybe. But they'd just been blessed by what she had done, and they were heartbroken at the loss of her. It seems she met and blessed many people in her time there. Verse 40, Peter sent them out of the room, and when he got down on his knees and prayed, turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. Again, very similar to the same verbiage you can see Jesus use in chapter 5 of Mark. And he spoke as Jesus did because he was bestowed with this power, this same power that Jesus had. And when he spoke, she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. Verse 41 and 42, he took her by the hand and helped her to her feet, and then he called the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed the Lord. Do you know, do you kind of wonder what this might have been like for Dorcas? I mean, she'd been blessed, right? She'd served the Lord. She'd done her deed. She got to go home. It doesn't say where she was at, but let's just say she was in the presence of the Lord, and then all of a sudden, you know, you see them in the movies, they're They're calling your name, come back. She'd been rewarded with life. Death is a gift, honestly, as for the believer. But instead, she was called back. And why Dorcas? A simple little girl from a seaside town. In our eyes, she was nobody special. She wasn't talked about other places. She wasn't like Stephen. Why didn't Stephen get raised from the dead? Why wasn't he? He was a great man of God. Look, what about him? What about, well, we're going to later see in the book of Acts, why not James? Why not those kinds of people? Why Dorcas? Why was she chosen out of all of that? Dorcas was brought back to life not for her own sake. She was brought back for her ministry to others. She was brought back because God knew the effect it would have on those around her. This little, simple girl who served the Lord faithfully was brought back. Huge example of God's love. It would have drawn many people to salvation, and it did. And then the last verse, and I'm not done, by the way, just so you think, wow, we're getting done quickly. Last verse in the chapter 9, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Simple little sentence there. We could just move on past that. But what you would know is that sentence would have sent shockwaves through the Jewish community because he was going to stay with somebody who was ceremonially unclean. He dealt with dead animals. According to the law, it was strictly forbidden for a Jew to associate with anyone who worked with dead animals. Tanners had to live at least 75 feet outside of any village because of their ritual uncleanliness. So it was kind of Peter just being a rebel a little bit, breaking with tradition, thinking outside the box. And we're going to see him do more of that in this next chapter. That's cool. So there we go. There's the story. Two quick, simple, little miracles. Does God still do miracles today? That's a quick answer. You know, people. Some would say, well, I don't think, I've actually read online, people say, well, I don't think God does miracles like, not miracles. And then I'd have to say, have you ever met me before I knew Christ? Who I was, the person that I, that how I acted, I was not a good person. I did many bad things. And in 30 seconds, I put my knees to the ground and said a prayer, and my life was changed forever. That's a miracle, isn't it not? That's a miracle in my life, but I also know God does many other miracles. I've seen people healed and walk when they couldn't walk because of things that were going on in their lives. I've seen miraculous things happen in families and lives. I get the opportunity to counsel in this church. It's one of my most favorite things to do. So if you ever need counseling, please come see me. I love it. I love it because it has nothing to do with me. Oftentimes I'll sit in a room with a marriage that is literally at the breaking point. And I have sat there, and we've prayed, and we entered into the conversation. We start talking, and by the time it's done, two people are loving all over each other, and they have a plan and a process in place. And they say, oh, thank you so much. And I say, but I didn't say anything. Oftentimes, it's just two people talking in the presence of God, and a miracle happens. Does God raise people from the dead? I'd love it to be that person who got to do that. In fact, I told Pastor Jim I was going to do that as a sermon illustration, but I couldn't find anybody that was dead that wanted to come in here. So let's look back at this and really all of Scripture, because there's some things that we need to pick up on, okay? Three points that I want to give you before we leave here today. And the first point is that these men that did these things were really nothing special. They weren't. They were just men. We kind of make them look like superheroes in our minds sometimes, and they were because God used them to do amazing things, but they were just simple men. In fact, I want you to jump back in your Bible to chapter 4 of Acts, and starting in verse 8, and I'm going to read a little bit of this to give it some context before I read the part that I really want you to pay attention to. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all of the people of Israel, It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected and which was has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Do you know what the Greek word for that ordinary is? Idiotas. I'm not lying. They were idiots. In their mind, in their assessment of them, that the definition is an unlearned, illiterate man as opposed to a learned and educated one who is unskilled in any art. But they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. We look at them as superhuman people, but they're not. They're just like you and me. See, God uses simple people just like you and me. We think we have to be something mighty and great in our education or something like that to make a difference. But these unlearned and uneducated men, these idiots, changed an entire region in one simple act. Two simple acts. See, God uses the common man today to do amazing things, you and me. The key is, ready? You have to be willing. You have to be willing to be used by God. He can't make you, He won't make you. But you have to be willing to be used by God. And I think that's a hang-up for a lot of us, because we look at what we think we should have, what knowledge we should have, or where we, or our personalities, or whatever the case may be. We look at those aspects and we kind of, I don't think I could do that. I can't, oh no, I can't. That person standing over there, God's telling me to go talk to that homeless person sitting there, but I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I can't do anything. I can't. I walk away. You have to be willing. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I want to be a fool for Jesus. Amen? I want to be a fool for Jesus. I want people to recognize that something amazing came out of my mouth and it has nothing to do with me. I want them to say, I mean, every if you guys come up to, anytime we preach as the pastors, we preach, you always go, oh, great word, great word. I said, man, if I said anything good, it wasn't mine. I said the dumb things up there. I didn't say the good things. Those all came from Jesus Christ. That's all from His power. I want them to see the true power that fills me as an ordinary, simple man. So that's point one. These men, nothing special. Just plain, ordinary, simple men that the higher up community saw as idiots. Point two. These men were doing all of this with a power that they had been given by God. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says this. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They would soon receive the power with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Power to do miraculous things in Jesus' name. Power to see spiritual things. They have dreams, visions, prophecies. Power to speak with the voice of God in a way that brings people to salvation. The power and the authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be filled with His Holy Spirit. That was simply it. That was the power that they received. Promised, given, and out they went with their task before them to share the gospel. By the way, same task for us, right? Isn't it? Do you believe that? That it is our job to share the gospel with everybody that we have an opportunity to do so? Do you know that that is your job? The Bible makes it very clear that we are ambassadors for Christ. If you have been brushing that off and saying it's just not me, would the things in the news today that are happening on a regular basis, can you allow them to shock you enough to say, you know what, there could be another shooter living right next door to me or down the street or at my job that needs to know about Jesus Christ, and I've got to be more willing to be used by God. Could you say that? Would you consider that? The third point is this, and this is the best point of all. So we see unlearned, uneducated, simple men being used by God by a power that God gave them to do these amazing things that we look up to and we are inspired by. But this is the same power that he poured out on us. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 says, in the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The same things that we see when we read in Scripture, that same power is made available to all of us. All of us simple people that are sitting here today. All of us idiots. I'll be called an idiot for Jesus. I'll be a fool for Jesus. Because I know that what I have to do, what he has instructed us to do, what he's put on our hearts is not by my power, but by his power. Miracles still happen. Wouldn't you love for God to use you to do something, a miracle, to pray over someone, to have faith, to be willing, to have faith that God could move through you, in spite of you, to do something amazing? That's what I read in this. That's what I take from this, that the miracles that we see, that we see take place, they can still happen today, and they could happen through me. They could happen through you, or you, or you. Not Ed, but he's Batman, so. So, what this world needs today, very badly, are witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's what I take from him. That's what these men were called to do. Simple men who've probably thought in themselves, are you crazy? I mean, can you imagine the first time Peter did something that was a miracle? Can you imagine probably the shock that just went through him? Like, oh my gosh, did you just see what happened? I just said in the power of Jesus' name, and this guy just got up. I just prayed for this girl. It doesn't say what his reaction was, but did he go, oh my, wow, this is incredible. I mean, that would just throw me off a little bit in a good way. What a blessing. Things are not going to get better in this world. The church needs to rise up and start doing what we're called to do. And we cannot do that in our own power. We've only able to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was made available to all of us. And I say this because sometimes when we work with people who've just gotten saved and you start talking about the Holy Spirit, they need to learn what that sounds like. They need to learn how that works and how that, I think we see the Holy Spirit as just this simple feeling that just makes us feel good. I mean, really? Do you think that's kind of like a lot of Christians? I have the Holy Spirit. I'm really good. I'm at peace. That's not where the Holy Spirit ends. That's not what it's for. That's it? No way. He wants to bestow on you the same power that he gave these great men who did amazing things. He wants to use you to do those things. He wants you to step up willingly and face some of the biggest giants that are out there and stand in the power of God and see miracles done. But he can only do it if you choose to accept that. You have to be willing. You have to have your spiritual eyes open. You have to be listening to the Spirit's leading. Again, I truly believe that we are very distracted in this world. There's an app for everything, but there is not an app that replaces the Holy Spirit's leading. And sometimes we need to take our nose out of whatever it is that we feel. I don't know, when you pray for your day, do you pray, God, you orchestrate the day? I mean, Kelly and I, we are very busy people. We always have, when Friday or Saturday hits, I am asking her, okay, what's the schedule for today? Because we're on the run to do different things like that. But we are always praying, and if God wants to derail that, he can, and he has many times for his purposes. I want him to be in control of my schedule. All right. So if the Spirit's made available to all of us, then I want to make sure everybody here today has an opportunity to have that Spirit. So the first thing that needs to happen is this. The first thing is you need to be saved. And I got to believe that I don't know all of you. I see your faces. I don't know all of you. Are you saved? Do you? Oh, yeah, there we go. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Don't just tell me you know him. Don't just say, well, I come to church or I believe in God, so the demons believed in God too. So that doesn't make any difference. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you met him? Do you talk to him like he is? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm there's pictures that people have, and some people like to pray in the King James English and all that. I don't. He is a friend that sticks closer to me than any brother or any friend. When I'm in the car, he's with me. We have conversations throughout the day. That's the friend that I have. That's the Savior that I know. Do you know him that way? If you don't know him that way, what could I just tell you? I beg of you today, do not leave until you know him that way, until you have a relationship, a personal relationship with him. We're not here to shame you. We all came from that. We were all idiots before. We're still idiots now. We all came from that place. Many of you who've been in this church for a long time, I've shared bits and pieces of my testimony, but I was the darkest kind of person that was out there, and I was raised in the church, but I had not accepted him until I went to a Nazarene, what would it have been? Revival in Iowa. This little building where the doors open up on the side because it was so hot and we had fans in there. And I can't even tell you what the revivalist was speaking about. I just know that the Holy Spirit met me in that aisle. And he sent me to my knees. And he changed my life forever. Forever. And he can do that for you. And if he hasn't, and if you hadn't have that, if you haven't had an amazing experience like that, you can have one this morning. But if you're saved this morning and you say, you know what, I just don't feel that passion and that power within me, you can have that. The band's going to come back up here, and we're going to play, and I pray, and we're just going to have, open up the altar as we worship him for one more song. Can we do that? Can we just worship him for one more song? And while we're worshiping him, if you want, we did this a while back where we gathered up here and we prayed over people who wanted the filling of the Holy Spirit. They want that Holy Spirit to be poured down on them. And if you want that today, and if you don't have that, then let's pray for you. We can do that, right? So all the elders we're missing a lot of people today, but anybody who's in leadership that wants to come up and pray, we'll pray over you and ask God to pour out that on you. You want to do miraculous things? You need that Holy Spirit. So if you're not saved, let's lead you to the throne. I want to introduce you to the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life if you're not saved. And if you are saved and you need the filling of his Holy Spirit, you need a little pump, maybe you just need some prayer. You know, maybe Satan's just been pounding on you, you need some prayer. That's what we do here. So this is not some special service. This is just an altar call to say, let's make sure we get where we need to so that we can go out and maybe have some effect on this world that's getting darker and darker as the days go by. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, you are such a good God. And these quick little 11 verses inspire me as I read through them, that you used a man like Peter who wasn't anybody special. I'm nobody special. And you used him to do a miracle that was in itself was an amazing thing, and it changed that person's life. But what I also saw is when you used Peter to do something amazing, you changed a region, you changed a town. People saw it, people heard about it. I want to be a part of something like that. I want to be known for that. I want my household and in my neighborhood to be known that there's some amazing things that happen there. And I know I can only do that when I'm walking in the leading of your Holy Spirit, not just for the good feeling, but for the direction, for the guidance that I need your direction now. I want you to point me to where I need to go next. I need you to give me the words that I need to say to speak out. And I can only do that through the leading of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, fill us as we lead this, as we sing this song. Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? If there's anybody that feels led that they need to come down front and have a few people lay hands on and pray over, we'll do that too. So, Lord, we just want your filling. We just want the best of you. I want your best. And we are willing this morning, Father. We are willing. Come and fill us, Lord. We thank you. We pray in your great and glorious and mighty name.